It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Rust Conundrum that I know we're going to get into here. We'll get more into the actual ALDS in a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, I don't, part of me not having a feel for this series to this point, one part is the Tigers are the hottest team in baseball. It doesn't matter. They beat a bunch of crappy teams like the Rockies, the A's, the White Sox as a huge part of their success. They also swept the Astros, who had all the playoff experience in the world. So part of it's that. And then the other part of it is, well, are you going to come out and is it going to take you three innings to get your offense going? Because we know how this team plays when they play from behind.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Brett's right. Like, it's all just a matter of perspective. You know, if a team plays really well after a layoff, then we'll just be like, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I just think it's interesting that, like, you can go back and find the numbers. And I this was after last year. In the one-game wildcard era, higher seeds went 17-19 after having a shorter amount of time off. In the three-game wildcard era, which is just the 2 years, obviously, so small sample size, higher seeds went 3-5. So I do think that there's something to the idea. I mean, I just think this sport is so much about the routine of your day-to-day and staying in sync with what you do, the habits that you have on a game day or as you're building up to that, I think there is something to that, which is why I worry about, like, how do you create that when you have a week off? I know they do simulated games and all these different things, and maybe that's something that if the Guardians come out here and they play really well tomorrow and they get a win, another notch in the belt for Stephen Vogt in terms of how he's prepared this team this year, and that's something that we can talk about. But that is my biggest worry going into this one.
So it is a football Friday. It is an NFL Friday, so we do have more football on the way, getting you ready for Browns Commanders. Jason Pinkston joining us in just about 15 minutes here on the show. He joins us every single Friday. And, of course, we've got plenty more to get to on the Guardians and Tigers ALDS. But the news that, again, I don't think it was a surprise that it happened. I think the two surprises that Terry Francona, unretired or un-whatevered, because that's become a huge debate. but the two surprises for me were, one, that he did so soon, meaning literally a year after stepping away, and then two, that he went to another small market team instead of waiting for maybe an easier path to potential World Series, that third World Series ring.
Does this mean he's out of the running for throwing out the first pitch in game one of the World Series?
I will go ahead and say I don't think it's going to happen now. Yeah. Now, maybe that's actually why I did it. Maybe it's like, you know, well, I was going to stick around and maybe not take a job this offseason, but if they want me to throw out the first pitch, I'll just go manage somewhere else.
He doesn't want to be reduced to just throwing out first pitches. He wants to be in the dugout.
Guys, I'm 65, not 105.
No, listen, like, it's funny. I think there are certain places where if he had gone there, I think the Yankees is a notable one. I know that kind of came up this week. People who are like, well, if the Yankees lose in the playoffs and they actually fire Aaron Boone and go through with it this time, would they hire Terry Francona? I think though, like, that's the type of job or that's the type of opportunity where I think you look and you're like, he gets labeled as like a traitor almost in a way.
But I don't think he cares.
No, I don't think he cares. But I'm saying, like, I think, like, that, like, Cleveland people would be feeling that way about it. I don't think they feel that way about the Reds. I know there's the whole, like, Cincinnati's in. There was the whole Photoshop of the team wearing the Cincinnati's in Kentucky T-shirts for their celebration that they put out after they beat them at the end of the season. And so, like, we have fun with that at the expense of them. And there's the Ohio Cup and all that. And so they're kind of considered like a rival. But they don't feel like a rival in the natural sense because you play them every year, but it's just like, okay, they're in the NL. You know what I mean?
I actually think this adds some spice to that, by the way. I do.
That's fair. I'll say this. I think what adds spice to it is the fact that they're sort of considered like a rival to you on the other conference, or the other league, rather. But it's the fact that, like you said, similar market, limited resources in terms of what they can do. They have the same philosophy in terms of, let's get guys in here, prolong their arbitration years, and, you know, make sure we don't get them service time, so manipulate that a little bit so that we can keep them longer, like they're doing with Ellie De La Cruz, like all these different guys. They have a similar philosophy. We know that their owners talked about, like, what are Reds fans going to do? Just leave, like, similar to the enjoy him while he's here quote, right? Like, so many similarities. And now Tito goes to an organization like that, and it almost becomes this rivalry of, like, I think it does add some spice to rivalry and, like, okay, you're going to let them now, like, pass you in that philosophy and thinking because they have the guy that saw how you guys did it.
It's almost a damn shame because I do think once MLB expansion comes down the pike, I do think there's a really decent chance that the Reds, Pirates, and Tigers are your divisional foes. I think they'll go to 8 divisions of 4 teams, and I think you're going to see radical realignment.
Think it's going to be like they're going to change leagues and stuff too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not the only, like, I've just heard plenty of people say
I've
that.
I've seen some of the projected, like, ideas out there.
So,
yeah.
And also, I think it makes it easier to have rivalries. So I almost kind of wish this would happen on
that
timeline.
That would be fun, honestly. Well, if you had, like, Pittsburgh, because the rivalry there with all the other sports,
even
or
Cincinnati.
Football more so. But, like, again, Cincy being in it would make some sense, because then you have those natural barriers then between football and baseball. Unfortunately, our good friend Mitch Spinell is going to have to find another team again because he can't. Apparently he's cheering for the Pirates now.
He'll
too.
Be fine. Wait another 3 months. He'll find another team. Don't worry.
But
real quick on this, like, I do think when it comes to this, I want to say that I was the only guy on air saying it in real time when he decided to step away last year. That I thought this. Because I was at the time. I was like, guys, this is a little weird. Like, the way it was handled, the timing of the announcement, which came, like, right after Antonetti and Chernoff had to fly down to Houston.
Yeah, it was, like, early August, yeah.
And so, like, I never bought... Listen, health is real.
It wasn't even really an announcement. It was more like he was, like, at a press conference. He was like, yeah, you know, when this season's over and I'm
Johnson,
hanging it up, it's like, oh. Like,
I ain't going to be
he was
here.
Like, he was like, I'm not going to be here. Yeah, exactly.
And next season, I don't know, because I ain't going to be here. So what is interesting is, I do think... One, I hope for Tito that he waited long enough for his health, just selfishly.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern.
Baseball is better when Terry Francona's in it, whether he's with Cleveland, Cincinnati. As Brett Boone pointed out, he's one of the last of the old guard, just like Bochy. So there's that point. I hope he waited long enough that at this season or 2 seasons from now, he doesn't have to do the other step away, which he's had to do twice in the last 3 seasons he was the Guardians manager. The other half of this is, I'll be honest with you, guys, I don't think it was just Tito stepping away, retiring, whatever vernacular you want to use. I think there was a lot of tension. Whether they'll ever cop to this or not, I think there was a lot of tension at the end. I think whether it was Tito being set in his ways, whether it was Tito frustrated with the market restrictions, and specifically, this has always been a tight place money-wise for players. Since the pandemic, it has been, we're talking about pinching pennies. You had to trade Cal Quantrill so you could trade for Scott Barlow. So I just think, I know it was, it's for health. I always felt like, even if that is true, the number one reason, I think there were a lot of logical reasons that the two parties had said, you know what, Tito's still relatively young enough. If he gets healthy, he'll have another crack at the apple somewhere else, and maybe it's time for a fresh voice with the Cleveland Guardians.
Well, who knows? Given, like we laid out, the you know, his announcement that he wasn't coming back, maybe the thing that was like the straw that broke the camel's back was the sort of selling at the deadline and sort of throwing the towel in the season, and maybe that rubbed him the wrong way. It wouldn't be surprising if Tito left not on the best of terms or stepped down not on the best of terms. He clearly was still okay with the organization because he stuck around. He helped with the process of Stephen Vogt hiring and all that. But maybe that was sort of the thing because, I mean, the same thing happened in Boston when he left. There was a lot of frustrations over, like, they wanted the team to win sexier and play certain lineups and put certain guys out there. And he was like, guys, like, I'm the manager. Like, I'm putting the best team that I think is going to win me games. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to now interfere with that too much. So it wouldn't be all that surprising. But, yeah, I the biggest fear I have for him, and as somebody who loves Tito because obviously he managed my favorite team and then the team that I have a soft spot for here in Cleveland with the Guardians, like, to see him here in that element and sort of be able to follow his whole career that way, I love Tito. And I do worry about the health thing because some of those problems he had, it was like, and maybe it was just a product of he didn't have time to let it heal and take his time because 162-game season, you're on the road doing all this thing for more than half the year because the season's so long. But I do worry about, like, the health part of that because if he's already had those issues, I don't know how they just, like, automatically fix themselves. Unless a year away is you know, was the magic elixir, and now he's good. But
another thought I had about this?
What?
How lucky the Guardians are that they had this season happening and that they're in the postseason when Tito decided to take another job.
Like, if you're saying if they'd had a bad year, like...
Well, no, if they had had the season predicted. If this was a 73-win team, and...
Tito goes to...
And Tito...
Yeah, that's true. People,
like,
would be up in
the
arms.
Season ends, and, like, 3 days later, Tito goes there, and we still had questions about Steven Vogt. Yeah, I think this would be completely received differently. I think in a way, the Guardians got bailed out with Steven Vogt being as great as he is, and... in this season being going the way it has.
Maybe that's actually the thing that's restricting it from being like a he's a traitor or a Benedict Arnold conversation. It wasn't so much going to the Yankees or something like that. It was the fact that that the Guardians had a good season and people love Steven Vogt right now. And to be clear, like, we've talked about it. I don't know that Tito gets this team where they are. I think Steven Vogt was the perfect person to bring in for this group right now and lead them where they have. But yeah, you're right. It would be received differently if the season had gone completely the opposite direction
there. Yeah, I think it's so funny, man. Like, I didn't know the Guardians needed a breath of fresh air in watching them. And I'll be honest, Tito was all of our whoopee. Like, he gave us a sense of security and a sense of trust that there was a patience. I'll also say, though, the thing that Vogt did, the most important thing, is not just winning. I think his change of philosophy lit up Clevelanders. Because I think whereas Tito has been very much a, you know, hey, man, we're going to take our time here. If we're struggling, it's just a matter of time. We're going to be patient. And I think that's a valid way to manage. That conservatism is valid. But the downside is you lull everybody to sleep. And so I think the greatest benefit to Cleveland baseball, and I do think it mattered to wins and losses this year, is just, no, game one, that's game one of one. We need to win this game. And then when you move to tomorrow, cool, we won yesterday. I don't give a damn about that. We need to win today. Did we lose yesterday? Don't care. And so I do think that mentality, that is something that it's not a disrespect to Tito, but I think in a small market where you're already fighting for so many resources, so much attention, I think Steven Vogt being the guy that's like, we're going to treat every game like the playoffs, I think is a huge reason not just why they won, but why fans showed up to the degree they did. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman. We'll talk about the importance of this game. Got to ask him about that reverse jinx from last week. Next on 92.3 The Fan. And our James Hudson and Alex Wright. Alex Wright likely headed to the IR. James Hudson, there's some talk he could be headed to the IR as well. The Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Now, last week, at the end of our interview with Jason Pinkston, we asked for his prediction, and here's what Jay gave us. Did it work? Did it not work?
I think this is going to be a close game, and it's going to be 17-14 Raiders. But listen here. Here is my thinking of this. If I say they're going to win, they lose. So if I say
you're
they're going to lose,
yourself,
then maybe they win.
So you think you're the curse?
I'll be the bad guy here, and I'll bet against myself, and hopefully that they go out and win this game because I want them to win this game.
And as he does every single Friday at 3:20, he could not reverse jinx the Browns. They lost. Spoilers. Jason Pinkston joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pink, welcome to the show. What happened with your reverse jinx, buddy?
It didn't work, fellas. It failed us, and it failed us pretty miserably.
Well, listen, that's not even the biggest failure involving the Cleveland Browns from last weekend. So I actually think you get away scot-free with this one. I'll just ask you, like, how are you panicked at all now that the Browns are 1-3 going into a game against a team that all of a sudden doesn't look so beatable?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking, and, you know, I just did not see our season starting this way. I didn't by no means I think that we were going to be, you know, at peak in peak form right now early, but, you know, it's kind of we're in a terrible spot right now, and watching the Commanders, that they're putting up some points. And, you know, that they got that young quarterback. He looks very, very impressive. He's thrown nice balls. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they put up 30-plus points. And, you know, they're winning football games right now. Now we take our show on the road to Washington, and hopefully we can come out with a win.
Jason, I'm curious because, you know, as a former player, you understand the impact that even just one win can have on a locker room, on a team's momentum. What can a win, you think, do for this team? Like, how is it that just winning one game can fix so many things all at once and just kind of get things moving in the right direction?
Winning is huge, man. Winning, you know, whether it be an ugly win or a blowout win, it cures a lot. It's easy to go in there on Tuesday or Wednesday and watch the tape after win and instead of going in there and watching the tape after a loss. You can correct things. You know, it's a little bit lighter. You know, the mood, you know, we just need a win. We need to figure out a way to get a win and get this team, give us a spark and get us going in the right direction, man. We need to do any, whether we, you know, coach has some, a fake punt drawn up or a trick play, we need something to get us going to get a win on Sunday.
Pink, I got to ask you, man, I don't want to go all the way back to the Raiders game for the whole segment, but Amari Cooper catches a beautiful pass by Deshaun Watson, waltzes into the end zone, and then it's called back for a hold on Nick Harris. And I got to say, man, Ross Tucker on the call thought it wasn't. Gene Steratore thought it was a hold. In fairness, he kind of talked himself into it. Did you think that was the right call, whether it was a hold or not, in that really brought back the biggest play of the season? So
it's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Far for the Browns offense.
It was extremely soft, a weak call. I mean, I don't think you call that. I mean, I've seen worse holds not called. That was a terrible call, and it really, you know, that kind of changed things for us a little bit. But nonetheless, they called it. They brought it back. I mean, it was just bad. I mean, things did not go our way, but I thought it was a terrible holding call. It was very weak.
Jason, along the lines of the offense and that play specifically from Deshaun Watson, I think the silver lining in that loss last weekend is how well Deshaun Watson played. Do you think that that was the start of him turning the corner and kind of rounding into the player that he is now at this point in his career, which is still a good quarterback? Or do you think it was more so a one-off and you need to see more?
I need to see more. I'm not gonna crowd him and say he's back. You know, we've seen him throughout this, you know, this early season. We've seen glimpses of it. You know, I thought as we went on in our season that he would continue to get better. I expected that of him, and I think he will continue to make some of those throws like he made last week and the weeks previous to that. I'm not ready to just crown him yet, but I'm excited to see more. you know, obviously we need to get healthy, one, get all of our weapons back in there. But I'm definitely extremely positive in the direction he's going right now. Now, I will say this. We need him to take a step forward this week. It can't be, you know, we go over there and we do a lot of good things, and all of a sudden he goes out there and rolls an egg. We can't have that. I need to see him take another step forward this week.
Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pink, I feel like this is the question I ask you every week. Is this the week we finally see the offensive line have a decent performance?
I would like to hope so. You know, I'm very optimistic right now at this point of, you know, from what we've seen this year. Obviously, we know guys are banged up, and some guys are coming back from injuries. Some guys are going out with injuries. But, it's a part of football. We have to figure out a way to do what's best for those five offensive linemen that are going to take the field. We got to do what they do well, whether it's running the ball or passing the ball, whatever we need to do scheme-wise, we got to make those guys comfortable. You know, and we got to start by winning first and second down. You know, we can't get, you know, behind the sticks and ask these guys to, you know, if there's backups in there to pass protect, and we go out there and throw the ball 40, 50 times. We can't do it. We haven't proven that we can handle that yet. So I think we really need to go out there and try to establish the run game, get those guys comfortable, and hopefully the play action pass, and it could open up, you know, the passing lanes for those guys and allows our guys to be successful. But if we're behind and we got to go out there and the defense knows it and they're going to just, you know, throw their best blitzes and you're going to get the best pass rush, you know, we're going to be in trouble again.
Jason, speaking of the offensive line, Jack Conklin listed as questionable today by the Browns as he continues to – we continue to wait to see him make his 2024 debut after the injury last year that obviously he suffered from. If he's good to go, is it time to have DeJuan sort of take a seat and become that first man up at tackle and put Conklin out there and see if that fixes things along the offensive line? I know that DeJuan Jones has a lot of potential and they're really excited about his future, but do you feel like that's maybe the best path forward for this team?
I would have to agree with you. If Conklin is ready to go, you have to throw him out on that field. Like I said, you know, he is a very good right tackle. He's one of the best when healthy. We've had a lot of success with him when he's in the lineup. You know, it's just unfortunate that he's had to deal with some major issues over the last couple of years. But if he's ready to go, I love Dave Jones to death, but he's going to have to take a back seat and he's going to have to play that role of, you know, God forbid if somebody goes down. I like to where Jones is at. I think he just needs to keep working. He looks a bit heavier this year than he was last year. I think he's having maybe some issues that I can't say for sure. Obviously, I'm not in that locker room, but you know he Jones has showed us that he can play. I thought he played a good game last year versus T.J. Watt at the end of the year, but you know we need to start seeing him take a more of a positive step in the right direction as well.
By the way, I have the same problem as DeJuan Jones. I also like buffets.
but you know what? We're not getting paid millions of dollars anymore to stay in that type of shape. So we can enjoy the buffet a little bit more than he can.
And here's the thing.
The only thing Nick's blocking is a salad, you know?
Absolutely. Unless I will eat the croutons. Round is a shape, Jay. Round is a shape.
It sure is, buddy. I thought I know it.
Jason, since we're on the subject of DeJuan, I wanted to go back. We saw sort of the exchange between Deshaun and DeJuan during the game, and they've talked about this throughout the week and how, you know, it's not anything new. How often is that type of stuff happening inside locker rooms, inside those team dynamics? And do you think that is the mark of, you know, what makes a great team? When you guys can get on each other a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's no hard feelings because it's just guys trying to make each other better.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, when you start getting your veterans and your team and your guys policing the locker room, you know, holding people accountable, that's when you take the right step. That's when you become a better football team. And you got to have tough skin. And, you know, you got to be prepared for it, and you got to be accepted, understand how the message is being delivered. And be a professional about it and do what's right and be accountable. When you have guys stepping up and you know, hey, calling people out in the right way and telling, you're just wanting them to be better because you know they can do it. You believe in them. And I think that's what Deshaun was doing in that little exchange. Like, come on, man, we need you. We got to get this. You got to get him. Because you can tell those guys that they're trying. They really want to win. They want to get this thing going in the right direction. And I loved it. I give him a gold star for that, for holding his guys accountable and telling them, hey, let's go, man. Let's get it. We got to go now.
Pink, I'm not asking for the prediction yet, but how do you feel about this game on Sunday on the road against the Commanders?
Can I text you at halftime of the game and tell you? Can I see the first series first?
I think you and I are going to be texting during this game.
Jason, you can't just watch the first series, though, because the first series gives you hope. You're like, oh, that was a great series. It's everything after the first series that's the problem.
I will know a lot by end of the first quarter. I honestly think, I truly do believe this, I feel like, the team is very disappointed how that Raiders game ended, because the Raiders gave us every chance to take that game. If we know one thing about some of those leaders in there, they've had to have some kind of a team meeting amongst the players and talk, hey, guys, we need to get our stuff together and we need to go right now. What happened to us on Sunday versus Oakland is unacceptable, and the thing that happened earlier this season is unacceptable. Now, I feel like we're going to go in there with a very, very good effort to try to win this football game and get a win in Washington. And I think it can be done. The quarterback's young. He's making some great plays. They're playing good football. But, when you get a team that finally says enough is enough, let's go in here and do this, I think we can win, and I hope that was the message all week.
I'll know by the soonest I'm going to know how I feel about this game is, I'd say, the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. I think that's as early that I'll really know how I feel then. All right, Pink, it is time for your prediction, buddy.
I hate being in this position right now because I just don't. No,
you have nowhere to go. You did the reverse jinx last week. Yeah. It didn't work.
This probably was a better game to do the reverse jinx from.
You ready for this? You ready for this, guys?
I don't know.
28-21, the Cleveland Browns go in there and get a victory. Deshaun Watson comes in there and plays his best game of the year. Amari Cooper bounces back big for us, and the defense stands up, and we get a win.
There we go.
I know you're
clean
just kind
the
of
slate.
Pulling a rabbit out the hat there, but we appreciate it, buddy. Great stuff, Pink. Have some adult Pepsis this weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Actually,
thanks,
I'll
Jason.
Text you on Sunday whenever I get salty and pissed off.
That works, because I'll be waiting for it.
Be good, bud.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
You too. Jason Pinkston there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say. All right, he tried the reverse jinx. It didn't work. Now he's trying the straight-up jinx.
There's not really a lot of places you can go after you try the reverse jinx. That's like the last resort.
By the way, I like that, 2 minutes before, he was like, eh. We asked, how do you feel about this game? Eh.
And then he turned it to 28-21. Yeah. Let's
Deshaun's
go,
best game. Browns back Browns. In the saddle. We'll react to Pink next on 92.3 The Fan. Drive. We do have Jim Costa of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit in 60 minutes. We'll be getting the Detroit perspective on the ALDS. I will say, Jim, who was one of the biggest it's not going to happen people in Detroit and has had some critical words for the Tigers organization up until this hot stretch, all of a sudden getting very cocky now that they're playing the Gardos. But before we get there, Pink obviously having a take on where this team is. It's funny, when we asked him, hey, where are you at with this game? He kind of gave us a, eh. And you were not there. You were actually, you said, the word you said in the pre-show meeting is you have a good feeling, right?
I do have a good feeling, yes.
Yeah. Is there any, is it just like a, it couldn't get much worse kind of good feeling? Is it?
So I think it maybe stems from the idea that it couldn't get much worse than 1-3 with the losses that they have.
You are not new here. You do know it can get worse than 1-3.
That is true. But I don't know. I just feel like at some point, something has to go right for this team, right? And I understand, listen, like, Washington, the way that their offense is playing and the way that Jane Daniels is playing, and listen, total respect for Jane Daniels. I wasn't sure what to think of, like, a rookie quarterback coming into a game like this initially, and he has just taken the league by storm. I mean, they're Washington is the darlings of the league right now because of the start that they've gotten off to. But I like, as you look at, like, the numbers for both these teams and you sort of stack them up against each other, the only thing that they really have going for them is Jaden Daniels in this offense. The defense is bad, and it's not like they haven't beaten some, like, murderer's row of teams either. They beat the Patriots. Sorry, that's their preseason game. They lost to the Bucs week one. That was their one loss. They beat the Giants, who we agreed that the Browns also should have beaten because they're a bad team. They beat the Bengals when they were going through this early season slump, and they did put up 38 points in that game. That's a good win. But the Bengals, I also think the Bengals aren't as good as they have been in previous years. Yes, they have Joe Burrow. That's always going to be a factor for them to be in games.
It's Joe Burrow and a bunch of bubs.
Yes, but and that's my point. Like, their offense can still be really good, but I think their defense stinks. And I think there's a lot of turmoil there right now with contract situations because they don't want to pay anybody and all that stuff going on, that there's a lot of distractions. So it's not like I think the Bengals are in, like, the best state right now either. And if they lose to the Ravens this weekend, their season's probably over because they just lost a big division game. And then they beat the Cardinals, who are kind of this, like, are they good, aren't they good type of team right now that we don't really know anything about. So I'm not, like, looking at their schedule like, oh man, they I get why everyone's in love with them right now, but it's not like they've beaten teams that we consider, like, the elite of the elite.
I mean, I listen, it's so tough because on one hand, four games is an insanely small sample size to crown either Jaden Daniels or the Commanders. Like, right now, this is a really cool story.
Yeah.
Like, Washington is very much and has been very much where Cleveland was for a good amount of the time, but, you know, besieged by bad ownership. Even when they had a good quarterback in Kirk Cousins, they said, well, he's not worth that much money. He goes to Minnesota and keeps statistically being one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL every year. Like, they have a why can't we have nice things mentality. I do think Jaden is doing some awesome things. But to me, the problem with this game is not that I'm suddenly terrified of the Commanders. No, I'm terrified of the Browns. I don't trust this team to show up and play together and play hard and play efficient, smart, not dumbass football, because they haven't done it against teams that, quite frankly, are less, I almost said less good, are worse than this Commanders team is.
Well, and so that's the other part of this, because I'm not sitting here trying to tell you, like, you should trust the Browns. I'm not even saying that I trust the Browns going into this game. They're still
but yet
level,
you feel good.
I'm going to explain. The reason, like I said, maybe it's like it can't get worse, but it's also just this idea that, like, on some level, I feel like the Browns can go into this game, and they have nothing to lose at this point. Everybody already thinks in this town that the season's over, that they suck, that this is a classic old Browns team that, you know, should be good, but they're not good, and they just haven't lived up to the expectations and the hype, like some of those Odell Beckham Jr. years where everybody was crowning them preseason, and then they played terrible. So, like, there's already all the negative out there. Like, the worst thing you can do is go in and actually play a sound football game and give yourself a chance to win. And I'm not blown away by Washington's defense enough to be like...
Real quick on that.
Okay.
The worst thing is not... That, like, I think you're missing it. Like, we've gotten peeps of discomfort and distrust, frustration, whatever you want to call it. We've gotten peeps of that already, to the point we're going to the Giants game, we're talking about, well, fans aren't in the room. We're going to the Giants game, we're talking about, well, maybe the camera should be in your face. And Grant Delpit calling that game a must win, which you then lost. All right, so that was going to the Raiders game. Like here, the problem is, like, it can get worse from here. Like, just, I'm like, I know I'm not trying to be hyper literal here.
No, I got
but
you.
Like, dysfunction grows from here. And everybody's out there selling kumbaya. Everybody's out there selling.
I don't think everybody's out there selling kumbaya, though. I think everybody's like, this isn't good. 1-3 start. How many teams have made the playoffs after that?
We're going to play a piece of sound for miles.
I mean, Pinkston had to dig deep just to throw out a 28, what did he say, 28-21 or whatever the hell he said for a prediction this week. Like, he had to dig deep to try to find some sort of positivity in this. I'm coming from a place where it's like, I don't have to dig that deep. I can see the ways they win. I also think Jaden Daniels, being the rookie that he is, he is susceptible at some point to run into a defense that just makes life a living hell for him. And I think the Browns defense has the chance to do that. I get we can't trust him. I get it.
Real quick. Because the point that I was trying to make is Myles Garrett saying today, and let's go ahead and play this. Myles was actually talking about where this team is. And, you know, we played Greg Newsom earlier where Greg said, different energy in the building. Here's what Myles had to say about where this team is and communication issues and stuff like that.
Well, I'm tired of getting kicked in the teeth. So I'm going to make sure that, you know, we all on the same page. And we're tired of getting punched in the mouth. We're tired of losing. So, you know, we got to get this right from jump. You know, we got to play 60 minutes of great ball. And there can't be any lulls. And, you know, it's going to be that way on Sunday.
Does it feel like dips in intensity is the cause for those kind of issues?
I think it's a little bit of dips in intensity and dips in communication. You know, there's a little bit of laxity that we had during the week at times, and I think we've really got that out of our system, and now we're where we need to be.
So I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to go at Myles on this, nor was I trying to go to Greg Newsom earlier. I've heard this script before. Well, no. That was the old Browns team from this year, and now we got it figured out. The words don't matter to me anymore, because every time you say words, you go out on the field and the actions look a hell of a lot different. So that to me is where I'm back to prove it mode. So they are spinning kumbaya. They are spinning, well, no. We got it. We figured it out. Like hell. Like I'm done trusting them. I'm done picking them to win. Like you have to, at some point, the investment has to come back this way, that you show me that you're not just a talented team on paper that poops the bed on Sunday.
Well, and my argument, again, isn't to sit here and tell you, like, I have this resounding amount of trust that they're going to win this game, and that I'm all that you should trust this team wholeheartedly, because they haven't given you reason to. You're 100% right. I'm going off of a feeling that I have, Nick. I there's just something about this game that feels like if the defense just comes out and plays a clean game where they can get some pressure on Jaden Daniels and make his life hard, that it's not going to be so easy for him to complete 82% of his passes. And then if you then by default go against a defense that I don't think is very good as well, and we saw Deshaun do some nice things last week, I just think like this game could be the perfect storm of it just gets mucked up on both fronts. And then the Browns find a way to kind of get that win.
But how's that different from every other Friday? We've been doing this every Friday.
I understand. Again, it's not different. That's why I can't explain fully like where it's coming from, because I don't even trust.
Is it a gut feeling?
Yes, it's just like a gut feeling.
Are you sure it's not the flu? You've got a very beautiful wife. Hopefully. You sure you just like look at a picture and get some butterflies because you're still in love with your wife? It could be that. Maybe it's time.
It's not that. I know. Okay. I know what that feeling is. What that feeling is. That's the feeling you get, like you and your lovely wife had when you guys had your second kiss. It's not this. What? It's a reference earlier in the show. You said that the second kiss is the one that gave her the butterflies.
I don't think you helped yourself out of the situation. If your wife is listening, there's no way. There's no way. No. Would you like to go to Judge Mac? Because I hate to have him be the second opinion here. Mac, you heard what I heard. Is that correct?
All I meant was that it's a different feeling than just feeling like the Browns have a chance to
Real
win this
quick,
weekend.
Mac?
No, absolutely not.
Wait, you got to be more specific. No.
I'm saying no as in it's not a good recovery.
Okay,
it sounds
right.
Like you're backpedaling. Right.
With
you're
love and respect, we're here for you. We're here to help you.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, okay. You're
helping. That's while jamming you up.
That's what happens when I come on the show. They're just here to help me. Okay.
But no, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm done having feelings. I'm done having hunches. And the reason being is everything that you laid out is logical. It is. Yep, 100%. Yeah, get to the young quarterback. Nobody that you've faced so far, with respect to the Giants, who just started blitzing when you faced them in week 3, like literally they did not blitz.
Yeah,
Jaden
that was
Daniels.
The week before they played you.
Yeah, the way that they blitzed Deshaun 1 week later. Thank you for that, Shane Bowen. Here's some courage for you. But like, you can do that, okay? But now they have to do it. Well, but okay, this is the best cornerback room they faced. Yeah, okay, but now you got to go do it. Like, by the way, is Denzel Ward going to be on Terry McLaurin? Or are we back to not being a matchup-based defense? So it's not that I think you're wrong. It's that I don't know how, even if I had the butterflies, even if I had the flu or the gut feeling or whatever, I don't know how I'd feel any damn bit of different and be able to lean into that in any way. 216-474-0092. This is where we're going with this. Are the Browns playing for their season on Sunday? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.